The Gemara in Bava Kama quotes the Eser Takanas of Ezra. One of the Takanas was that the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah and the second Shabbos before Shavuos, we should learn the Teuchecha. Second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, we learn the Teuchecha in Kisavai, and second Shabbos before Shavuos, we learn the Teuchecha in Bechukosai. So this coming Shabbos, the Kriyas HaTorah is a double kiyum. It's a regular Parshas HaShavua, and it's also the special Takanas Ezra to learn the Teuchecha before Rosh Hashanah. Some of the Mefarshim, this Takanas Ezra is quoted in Masechah Sofrim as well. Masechah Sofrim is not written by the Tanaim, it was written in the days of the Geonim, and the Magen Avraham writes that it often follows the Shitas HaYerushalmi against the Bavli. When there's a difference, it's written by the Geonim Yeretz Yisrael. So the commentaries on the Masechah Sofrim raise a question that the Gemara Megillah mentions that there were two Minhagim in the days of the Gemara, whether you complete Kriyas HaTorah once a year, every year, or you complete it once every 3 years. Our practice is, the Rambam writes, HaMinik HaPoshet, the widespread Minik HaPoshet B'chol Yisrael, is that we finish the whole cycle of the Kriyas HaTorah once every year, and we make the Siyum on Simchas Torah. In the days of the Gemara, the Minik Eretz Yisrael was that they finished the whole Kol HaTorah Kula in 3 years, and they would have the Siyum of Kol HaTorah Kula, sometimes on Pesach, sometimes on Shavuos, and sometimes on Sukkot. They had special piyutim. When it fell on Pesach, they said separate piyutim. When it fell on Shavuos, they had different piyutim. We always have it on Simchas Torah. So the Mefarshim raised a question, the way we have the practice that we complete the whole Kriyas HaTorah every year, so it works out like that. That B'chukaisa is always soon before Shavuos, and Kisava is soon before Rosh Hashanah. But if you have the meaning that you finish Kol HaTorah Kula in 3 years, so you know we're near B'chukosai, you're not necessarily going to be anywhere near Kisavoy. So on the bottom of the page, that printed the commentary of the Nachlas Yaakov, he thinks, no, this is like Parsha Zohar, this is like Parsha Sporah. You take out two Sifrei Torah. It happens to be whatever, Parsha's Chayisorah. Parsha Shavuos Chayisorah. Then you take out another Sifrei Torah, and you lay in the Teuchecha. The way we do it, that we finish Kol HaTorah Kula every year, so we kill two birds with one stone. It turns out that the Parsha Shavua is also the Teuchecha. But according to the Minig Bnei Eretz Yisrael, in the days of the Gemara, that they finish Kol HaTorah Kula in 3 years, so they would lay in a separate kriya. And a lot of Hasidic shuls, they follow the Minig of the Koshin, it's a Magid, that when the Balkori lanes Parshas Kisavai, whoever gets the Aliyah of the Teuchecha, so he says the Brocha after he finished the Brochas, Asher Nasan Lano, and then the section that has the Klolas, no Brocha is recited at all. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this in his Sefer. I seem to remember, got to take a look. My recollection is that he said that that's not proper, that's against the Gemara. Gemara said the famous that the Teuchecha has to have a bracha on it. The Gemara says that there's a din, the Teuchecha in Bechukosai is considered more severe than the Teuchecha in Kisavai. Even though the one in Kisavai sounds much worse, much worse, but the Gemara says the Teuchecha in Bechukosai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking. Teuchecha in Kisavai, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking. It's Lushana Shal Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Teuchecha in Bechukosai is worse. So therefore, there's a special din, Eim Afsikin B'Teuchochas. You're not allowed to make Hosofis, you're not allowed to stop in the middle of the Teuchecha. The Gemara gives two reasons why. So one of the two reasons is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will feel uncomfortable that we're saying curses for the Jewish people, and then we're saying blessings to him. He doesn't want to, it's not proper that he should be Mizbarach and we should be Mizkala. So you see from the Gemara that the Teuchecha is supposed to have a bracha on it. That's what the Nachlas Yaakov also points out, that in the days of the Gemara, the practice was that only the first Oyla LaTorah, the Kohen got the first Aliyah, said the bracha Asher Bracha Banu, and the last Oyla LaTorah said the bracha Asher Nasan Lanu. All the people in between didn't say brachas at all. So the Teuchecha is not in the beginning of the Sedra, it's not at the end of the Sedra. So what does the Gemara say? Ein Abedin, Rabban Shalom doesn't want, you shouldn't make hafsokas in the middle of the Teuchecha, Because then, if you stop, so the one who's aliyah just ended has to have bracha. Asher nasan lana, the one who's going to start the next aliyah in the middle of the techecha, is going to say a bracha shabracha ban. No one's going to say any brachas. They're talking in the days of the Tanoim. That was a takon in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, that every Olah LaTorah says a bracha before and after. But Bizman HaTanoim, only the Rishon says the bracha before, and the last one says the bracha after. So it's never going to have a bracha on the techecha. So that's what the Mefarshim say, no. The Techecha is a separate Kriyas HaTorah. It's not just part of the Kriyas Parshas HaShavua. It's a separate Kriya, and it needs brachas. It needs its own brachas. So that's, I think, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes like that, that it's not proper to follow that practice that they quote from the Kozhinitz and Magen, that you learn the Techecha, and nobody says the brachas at all. That seems to be against the Gemara. So this Shabbos is going to be fulfilling two takanas, takana Parshas HaShavua, and the takana of laning the Techecha. The parsha begins, Parshas Kisava begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim. Bikurim you have to bring to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Sifrei, Rashi quotes in the Sifrei, that the mitzvah of Bikurim applied in when they had Mishkan Shiloh, for a few hundred years, and later when the Beis HaMikdash was built also. Ramban in his commentary on Chumash is not sure whether in the days of Noi V'Givon there was a Bama G'dayla. So you can bring more Karbanas on the Bama G'dayla than you can bring on the Bama K'tana. But the question is, can you bring Bikurim also? It says, Reish Bikuri HaMascha Tobi Beis HaShem HaLakecha. He's supposed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. It says, the Pashto says an overgiven is not included. So that's what the Ramban is not sure. The Svarim quote that Taisus in a few places assumes that an overgiven, in Psochim on Daf Lamed Ches and in Zvochim, Taisus assumes that an overgiven they would bring Bikur. So that's very questionable whether that's so. The Mefarshim who count Minyan on Mitzvahs, those who Shonim wrote a Sefer on Mitzvahs, they count these as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah, Havoas Bikurim, or one mitzvah is Mikra Bikurim. Mishnah Bikurim says that not everybody who brings Bikurim recites Arami Ovidovi. There is a machloikis in the Mishnah whether a ger recites Arami Ovidovi because you have to say part of it. You can't leave out a pasuk. Either you say the whole Arami Ovi or you leave out the whole thing. Has to be kirchsova. So kirchsova means from the beginning to the end. So one of the psukim the farmer recites is Hikarte Yom L'Sham L'Kecha Kivosi Al Horetz HaShinish B'Hashem L'Abaseinu Losses Lano. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised our ancestors is going to give us Eretz Yisrael. The Ger is not a biological descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So can he refer to them as Abaseinu? Can he refer to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov as Abaseinu? So the Mishnah says that a ger is made to be in a Kur. A ger has the mitzvah. A ger has all the mitzvahs that we have as a regular Jew. But he can't recite the Arami Yavir because he can't say Hashanish Ba'am Hashem La'Avaseinu Losses Lana. The same thing when a ger Davin Shmon Esrei, he can't say L'Kenu V'L'Kei Avaseinu L'Kei Avraham L'Kei Yisrael L'Kei Yankov. He has to say L'Kenu V'L'Kei Avos Yisrael. And when he says Shachyanu, he can't say Shachyanu. What he says, Shahasa Nisma Avaseinu. But Yamamayim is Manas, I can't say Lavaseinu, because he's not a biological descendant of those who experienced the Ness. And then Yerushalmi quotes a Braisa, the Reb Yudah, the Tana disagrees with the Mishnah, and he holds that because Avram Avinu's name was changed to Avraham, Avhamon Goyim Nesaticha, Avhamon Goyim doesn't mean that he's considered a father to all the nations in the United Nations. Abba Mangam, he's a father to all of the Gerim. He's the founding father of the Jewish religion. So therefore, because of that pasuk, Abba Mangam, his name was changed. So therefore, the Ger can also refer to Avraham Avinu as Avaseinu. Where does it say by Yitzchak and Yankov? So the Gemara never explains that. So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash works on that. He quotes Rishonim who talk about that. The Rambam paskens like that. Tosfos has two opinions. Tosfos and Bava Basra has two opinions of whether we should paskin like the Mishnah or paskin like the Braisa of Rabbi Yudah and the Yerushalmi. The Rambam is famous. He sent a letter to Avadya HaGer, who corresponded with him, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the Ger can say Shasim Nisim Labaseinu, they get when he damish Manesrei, says the regular Shmanesrei, Lekeinu Lekeinu Lekeinu, and when he brings the Bikurim, he does recite, Shanish Bashem Labaseinu Lasas Lanam. What is a question is, can he say, Bracha Shalom Sani Goy? He was born a Goy. So some say you should leave out that bracha. Others say you should say Shasani Yisrael. There was such a girsa in the Gemara. I think the conservatives or the reform, they don't like that bracha shalom asani goy. They consider that racist or something. So they replace it with the other girsa that there is in the Gemara, Shasani Yisrael. So that's a question. We don't usually follow that opinion. So does that make sense? That the ger should say shalom asani goy because he converted, so now he's not a goy. That was his decision. The Baal Shem didn't make him a goy. So that's a big question. Tosis and Baba Basra on Daf Pei Aleph has two opinions. There's a little bit of Gemara there about Bikurim. Tosis had two opinions. An interesting shaila whether Bikurim is considered a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But there are other mitzvahs that apply only in Eretz Yisrael that are not agricultural, they're not mitzvahs hatleis. For example, Egla Rufa is only in Eretz Yisrael. That's not from the mitzvahs hatleis. It's not called the Chayvus Karka. What else? Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashana can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah tliyibor. So the question is whether Bikurim is a mitzvah tliyibor. Well, it's an agricultural mitzvah and only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Why shouldn't it be a mitzvah tliyibor? So Tosfos says because if you're not mafrish Bikurim, it won't be tevel. That's interesting. A mitzvah that depends on the Kedusha Sa'oretz is only if it's going to be an Isser, only going to be tevel. What about Leket Shikha Peya? Nothing is tevel. That's a mitzvah tliyibor. Anyway, it's questionable. What exactly is, why is Tosfos not sure? Whether Bikurim is a mitzvah tliyibor. Technically, in the Gemara has a pasuk, Reishis Bikuri Ad Moscha Tovi Beis Hashem Alkech, that's the Mishpotim. So the Gemara learns that Bikuri Ad Moscha Prat Luchutz Lords. So Tosfos is bothered with the question, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that Bikurim doesn't apply in Chutz Lords? We have a general pasuk, a general din learned from a different pasuk, that all agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvah tliyibor, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos says that Bikurim, maybe the Tanaim felt that Bikurim is not a mitzvah tliyibor. But it's questionable, why should it be so? Where Tosfos got it from, we know. They explain, why do you need a pasuk al mascha prat l'chutz l'aretz? But what's the logic behind it? So Tosfos said, because it does make tevel. Lechon shikrapeh also does make tevel. So it's not exactly clear what they're driving at. Rav Menachem Zemba was a great goyim. He was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he has a friend of his, was printing the Sifrei Zuta, and he asked them if he wants to give any Heoris. So he sent him a whole kuntres, I think 99 page long kuntres, Heoris on the Sifrei Zuta. So the Sifrei Zuta is a running commentary by the Tanoim on Bamidbar, Sifrei is on Bamidbar and Dvorim. So the Sifrei that we have is Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, I think, Stam Sifrei is Reb Yudah, Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir, Stam Tosefta is Reb Nechemia, I think the Gemara says, and then Gemara says, V'kul Aliba de Reb Akiva. It's all following the Shittas of Reb Akiva. And the Sifrei Zuta is from the basement, it's a different style Hebrew. It's like a more Aramaic thrown in, different style of Hebrew. And it's supposed to be in basement Rosh Hashanah Reb Shmuel, as opposed to the regular Sifrei that's been based in Rosh Hashanah Reb Akiva. Rashi, every so often, quotes the Sifrei Zuta, and he'll call it the Sifrei B'panim Achera, a different version of the Sifrei, totally different. There's nothing, no similarity living and dead to the regular Sifrei and Bamidbar. Different drushes. So the first paragraph in the Sifrei Zuta appears in the Mishnais and Perek Aleph in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim, Perek Aleph, talks about 10 levels of Tumah. So the Mishnah continues, there are 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Mekodesh is Mikol HaRotzes, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutzal Eretz, and Ayaros HaMekov Shem have more Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim has more Kedusha than the other Ayaros HaMekov Shem. Harabais has more Kedusha than the Rabbanu. We divide Harabais into three different sections. then the Azari has more kedusha than the Harabayis, then the Ben Hula Milan Mizbech has more kedusha, the Hechel has more kedusha, Kodesh Kodoshim is more kedusha. So there are 10 levels. And every step of the way, so that appears both in the opening paragraph and the Sifrei Zuta, because the Sifrei Zuta is on Bamidbar, and it starts in Parshas Nosa, which you look to Mei Min HaMachne. So it quotes this whole list of Esek Kedusha same. And it's word for word the same as the Mishnah with slight shinuim. So Rabbi Nachum Zem wrote this 99-page kuntres to explain why there are slight discrepancies between the way it appears in the Mishnah, Perek Aleph and Kelim, and the way the Esek Kedushas appear in the Sifrei Zuta. So one of the discrepancies is when it says Erusom Mekudeshes Kol HaRotzes, so in the Sifrei Zuta it says Shemivim Emenu HaOymer Eshtei Alechem. And the Mishnah says Shemivim Emenu HaOymer Eshtei Alechem and Bikurim. And the Sifrei Zuta doesn't say Bikurim. So it's true, you only bring Bikurim in Eretz Yisrael. So why did the Sifrei Zuta leave it out? Then the Vilna Gaon crosses out the word Bikurim in the Mishnah. Why did he cross it out? It's true. You only bring Bikurim from Eretz Yisrael. Why did he cross it out? And there's another question. The Mishnah is trying to tell us Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz Laretz. So if someone would ask you, what's the significance of Kedusha's Haaretz? You say, Shmita v'yayvel trumas ha'maisa leket shikhapeya. Mishnah and the Sifrei Zuta don't say any of the normal answers that we would have said. Trumas ha'maisa shmita v'yayvel. It says, Shemivim mena ha'omer ashtei alechem. The Omer, the Minchas Omer, the barley that you bring on Pesach has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. How many people have heard of that then? And the Shtei Lechem that you bring on Shavuos has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to all other menachos, they can grow anywhere. You can bring American wheat, American barley. But the Omer Shtei Lechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Why quote such awkward dinim? Why not quote the normal din? Eretz Yisrael's chayv in Trumas HaMaisis. Shmita v'yayvel, lekel shikhepe, all the mitzvot lives ba'aretz. So that's what the Rabbi Nachum Zemba explains. The Mishnah apparently is listing off Esek Kedusha's 10 levels of Kedusha's Hamikdash. Not that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha's Haaretz. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha's Haaretz. That's why you're having Trumas HaMaisis, Shmita V'yevel Leket Shikrapeya. But the Mishnah wants to say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha's Hamikdash. The essence, the center of Kedusha's Hamikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron is with the Shnei Luchas HaBris. And then the Hechel has a little less Kedusha. Then the Azor has a little less Kedusha. As you go further away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kedusha goes down. So the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash spreads throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, a lower level of Kedusha's HaMikdash. Where do you see all of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha's HaMikdash? Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha's HaAretz. What dinim indicate that Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha's HaMikdash? That's when the Mishnah quotes the dinim. The Omer has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But they don't plant barley in the Beis HaMikdash. If it grows anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. So it's considered as if the Omer grew in the Beis HaMikdash. So the way it says in the Mishnah, it says, Shemivena ha'Omer shtei alechem and Bikurim, means that Bikurim is not from the mitzvah satluyos ba'aretz. Bikurim is a special din. Bikurim has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash, but all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaBeis HaMikdash, Benegeit HaBikurim. That's a Chiddush. And the Sifrei Zuta doesn't have the word Bikurim. Apparently the Sifrei Zuta thinks that it's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. So the fact that you only bring Bikurim from Eretz Yisrael is not an indication. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash, because Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaAretz. So Bikurim is in the mitzvah satluyos ba'aretz. So the Pashtus is that that's the explanation to this discrepancy. Why the Sifrei Zuta did not mention Bikurim and the Mishnah did, it really should depend on the two opinions and Tosfos and Bava Basra and Daf Pei Aleph, whether Bikurim is a mitzvah tluyos ba'aretz, or it's a separate din that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon thought that it's a misprint. The Vilna Gaon crossed out the word Bikurim in the Mishnah. He thinks that there shouldn't be a machlokes on this. He thought that Bikurim is from the mitzvahs of Tluyos Ba'aretz. But that's what Rav Soloveitcher used to say this pshat. That's the issue involved. That's why the Vilna Gaon crossed out Bikurim, because he was working with the assumption Bikurim is a mitzvah of Tluyos Ba'aretz. Bikurim is one of the three items that require Havuas Mokon. Means you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Until you bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, it doesn't have the full Kedusha's Bikurim. The same is true regarding Maisa Sheni. and Bechor Behema Torah. Bringing it to Yerushalayim is Mashlem the Kedusha. Yeah.
Why should it be that Omer Bikurim need to grow this Mikdash?
Psukim. They learn that from Psukim, yeah. But the Psukim. Yeah, I think so. They learn it has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not from the mitzvah Satlias Ba'aretz. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. All the other menachas can have grown, the grain can grow anywhere. So the psukim indicate that Oymesh Da'alechem has to grow, Dafkan Eretzo, means it has to have grown in an area that has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Can't plant it in the base HaMikdash. You have to plant it in Eretzo. There's one opinion in the Tanoim, Machlekes HaTanoim, where the Bikurim is Noig and Eber HaYardin. Eber HaYardin, in the days of Yishuv Benun, had full Kedusha Da'araisa, had a full Kedusha Sa'aretz. Why is there one opinion that Bikurim is not Noig and Eber HaYardin? So the Yerushalmi has two explanations why. So one explanation given in the Yerushalmi is that you only bring Bikurim from Eretz Avos Chola V'Dvash, because that's what you mentioned. When you say the Mikra Bikurim. So true, Eber HaYardin has Kedusha Sa'aretz, but it doesn't have, it's not described as Eretz Avos Chola V'Dvash. So some understand that that's what that means, that Eber HaYardin has Kedusha Sa'aretz, but it doesn't have a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. If you say like Rabbi Menachem Zembe explained, so that's perhaps the reason why one Tana holds Eber HaYardin is Potter, it's not Zavos Chol HaDash, it means it has Kedusha Sa'aretz, but it doesn't have that second aspect, the lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash. Then the Mishalmi gives a different explanation. Why one Tana holds that the Bikurim doesn't apply in Eber HaYardin? Because we say in the Mikra Bikurim Va'ivien Olam Hakom Hazeh Ve'yitam Lana Sa'aretz Hazos. Eretz Yisrael was given to us. Eber HaYardin they asked for. Reuben and God approached Moshe Rabbeinu and they requested. They wanted Eber HaYardin. So you can't really say Ve'yitam Lana Sa'aretz Hazos, because the Rabbanu Shalom didn't give it to them. Originally the plan was everybody was going to get in Eretz Yisrael. So Vayitan Lana Saras Hazos cuts out Reuven and God, but doesn't cut out Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe. Interesting. That's what the Yerushalmi points out. That when you read the story in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, that Reuven and God approach Shevet Reuven and God approach Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say that Chatzi Shevet Menashe approached. So the Yerushalmi understands they didn't approach. Only Reuven and God requested. And then when Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe saw that their request is being honored, that the Rebbe Shalom said, okay, he said, they jumped on the bandwagon also. They also want to get in Eber HaYardin. But since they didn't request it, so Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe can bring Bikurim. Only Reuven and God not. Wow, that's an interesting idea. So the Yerushalmi says that it's a difference. The Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanaim, where the Bikurim is Noeg and Eber HaYardin, and the opinion of the Tana holds that it's not Noeg. There are two different explanations. The Nafkamina Ladina, whether it applies to all three, Reuven, God, Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe, because it's not Eretz Avos Chol HaVidvash, or no, only applies to Reuven and God, doesn't apply to Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe. They can bring Bikurim, because by them it was Vayitan Lono. Reuven and God wasn't Vayitan Lono, because they requested it. It wasn't Vayitan Lono. Right after Bikurim, you have the mitzvah of Vidui Meiser. You have the mitzvah of Biur Meisers and Vidur Meiser. There's a 7-year cycle. So the first 2 years, Imafish Trumagdola Meiser Rishon Meiser Sheni. The third year, Imafish Meiser Oni. Then that's 3 years. Then the next 3 years is a repeat. The year number 4 or 5, Imafish Trumagdola Meiser Rishon Meiser Sheni. Year number 6 is a repeat of year number 3. And then Shanas HaShemitah, everything that grows is supposed to be mafkarit, so then you're not mafrish any trumas or maises at all. So after the first 3 years are up, you have a half a year from Rosh Hashanah till Erev Pesach to give away all the maiser sheni, to give away all the maiser oni, the maiser rishon, to eat up the maiser sheni, to take care of everything. And then on Erev Pesach of the 4th year, and the same Erev Pesach of the 7th year, we give you, you have the second unit of 3 years, years 4, 5, 6, so we give you half a year till Erev Pesach of the 7th year to give everything away, see to it that everything is taken care of, and then you recite the Vidui Meiser, Biarti HaKodesh Men Habayis, etc. there's an important comment that Nesivis makes. He comes to answer Akasha that the Tzoyz has. He comes up with a very interesting chiddush. It's a question whether it's correct or not. He says that Biur HaMaisus doesn't really mean that there's a time limit to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Matnas Kuhuna. There's a mitzvah to give away Truma Gedolah to the Kohen. It's a mitzvah to give away Maaser Rishon to the Levi, Matnas Aniyim to give Maaser Ani to the Aniyim. And there's a time limit. You have to make sure that you give everything by Pesach of the 40th year and Pesach of the 70th year. That's the Pashup Shan. So he says, no, that's not true. To give it away, you can be Yotze, let's say, I'll invite a Kohen to my home and I'll give him the apples to eat. I'll invite him on Shabbos, on Yantar, whatever, to eat by me. Then I'll say, these apples are truma, or these cookies are truma, or the wine is truma, I'll mechabed you, you should eat it. I don't have to be maknet to the Kohen, I have to make it available. He should be able to eat it. When it comes there, a Pesach of the 4th year, a Pesach of the 7th year, it's not sufficient if I make it available to the Kohen, or to the Levi, or to the Oni, I have to be maknet it away. And he interprets the Gemara in Bob Metzia like that, in the first paragraph of Bob Metzia, when the Gemara talks about Kinyan Agav and Kinyan Chotzei by the Shnas Abir. That's an important idea. You have to check it out to see if you agree or you disagree. That's the Nesivis as Chiddush. And then you recite the Vidui Maisa. The Vidui Maisa, part of the Vidui Maisa, we say, Lo Achalti Be'oini Mimenu. I did not eat the Maisa Sheni in a state of Aninus, an oinen. We have a din in Yeridea. Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov is not allowed to do any mitzvahs. So in Shulchan Aruch, they call that Aninus. After the Kvura, the person is not called an oinen anymore. Over here, with respect to eating Maisa Sheni or to eat Korbanus in the state of Aninus, even after the burial, it also has a din of oinen. All day long has a din of oinen. There's a Pirush HaMishnayis. In the old editions of all standard editions of the Pirush HaMishnayis, we have those of us who don't know Arabic, we use a Hebrew translation of the Pirush HaMishnayis, printed in all the Gemaras. So the Rambam writes in three places in the Pirush HaMishnayis that the Oinen is not permitted to eat Maaser Sheni only up until the Kvura. After the Kvura, he's permitted to eat the Maaser Sheni, he does not have a din of Oinen. So this is against the Gemara. There's a Beferish Gemara that says even after the Kfura, he's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, he's not allowed to eat Karbonos. So this was, Rashi also writes like that in one place. Rashi in a few places writes like that, that Oinen is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni up until the Kfura. So one place Tosfos says that it's wrong, the other place Shagas Aryeh says that it's wrong. One of the Rashis is in Megillah, one is in Zvachim. So they ask that it's against the Din. So the Rabbi Kapach put out a new edition of, he made a new translation of the Pirush HaMishnayis Rambam. Every so, the one who translated the Rambam from Arabic to Hebrew writes in the introduction to his translation, I don't really know Arabic so well, but I'm going to try to do a good job. So it was always assumed that he was writing out of humility, he doesn't know Arabic so well. Rabbi Kapach says, no, obviously he didn't know Arabic well. He gives you the correct translation. And every so often, he was working with an original manuscript of the Rambam. So in all three places where the Rambam wrote that the Oinen, up until the Kfura, is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, in all three places, the Rambam crossed it out himself and he corrected it, that he's not allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni even after. That's what Tosfos asks on Rashi. It's wrong. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us the story that the last Lubavitcher Rebbe was once sitting Shiva. I think it's when his wife died, not when his mother died. First his wife died, then his mother died. First his mother died, then years later the wife died. So I think it was the second time. So Rabbi Soloveitchik knew him from Berlin. They were in the university at the same time. So he went to be Menachem Mobel. So they were talking and learning in Hilchas Avela. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, this Chiddush, that the Rambam writes that the Oinen is not Lari Maaser Sheni only up until the Kfur. So Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that he said, there is no such Rambam. Because against the Gemara. So the Rebbe said, no, no, the Rambam writes in the three. He said, no, there is no such Rambam. So the Rebbe said, I'll show you. So he says, there is no such Rambam. So he said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe got up to go show him. So he says, I pushed him down. He said, don't bother yourself, there is no such Rambam. So a week after the Shiva was over, so Lubavitcher Rebbe sent him a letter. He xeroxed the pages from Kapach's translation that in the regular editions of the Pirush HaMishnayos, it says it in three places. But Rabbi Kapach says that in the manuscripts, the Rambam corrected it himself, that it's talking against the Gemara. It's a beferish against the Gemara. Also, the pasuk says, "La'achalti lo biyarta mimenu b'tomei." I didn't consume la'achalta biyarta. I didn't eat my susheni in a state of aninus. Lo biyarta mimenu b'tomei. I didn't eat, nor did I eat my susheni in a state of tumah. So the din is that a tomei is not permitted to eat my susheni, not permitted to eat tumah, and not permitted to eat kochim. All three. But the Gemara, the Mishnah says the first Gemara in Brachas quotes that Mishnah from Taras, that the level of tumah is different. With respect to Ma'aser Sheni, a person that goes to mikveh, even though he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh, and the Tara process is not yet completed, Tovo v'yola, when the person comes out of the mikveh, Ochel b'Ma'aser, is he already permitted to eat Ma'aser Sheni? Harav Shimsho, if he waits till Tzeis HaKochavim, following going to mikveh, whenever he goes to mikveh, he has to wait till Harav Shemesh after. Harav Shimsho, Ochel b'Tumah. A Tvul Yom is not permitted to eat Tumah. And then sometimes the Tomei, even after going to the mikveh, and even after waiting for Harav Shemesh, would say, sometimes he'll be obligated to bring a korban. Which Tomei has to bring a korban to complete the Tahara process, or Zabzava, Yoledes, and Mitzorah? Those four people are called Abba Mechusri Kapora. That's the name of the second parak in Mishnah's Krisis. Abba Mechusri Kapora, the four Tomeim, who, even after going to the mikveh and having Harav Shemesh, are still considered slightly tameh with respect to entering Beis HaMikdash or eating kochim, that's the Zabzav and the Idiolet. So then it says in the Mishnah, Evi Kaparasa, after bringing the Karbonis, if he's one of those four people, Zabzav, Idiolet, and Mitzorah, then he's Ochel B'kochim. So that's what the Gemara points out. There are three different levels of the Tahara procedure. The tefillah and the mikveh is enough for Ma'aser Sheni. Harav Shimsho is enough for the eating truma. And the hebi kaparasa is necessary if you want to eat kochim. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos where he tries to ascertain which are the 613 mitzvahs. And the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos, he lists off the 14 guiding principles that he drew up. More than 14, but that's the way he presented it. He packaged it. The 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvos and what not. So one of the klolim of the Rambam is that you only include in Sefer HaMitzvos mitzvah hanuheges l'doros, a mitzvah that's binding throughout all the future generations. That's how Rashi writes at the beginning of Parshas Tzav. Rashi is quoting from the Torah's Kohanim, from the Sifro, Ein Loshen Tzav, Loshen Zeros, Miyad, u'l'doros. The word mitzvah, Tzav, is a technical term that has the connotation of a mitzvah and a heges l'doros. If something is only halacha, we can't call it a mitzvah. So there was once in the history of the world, the Jewish people were instructed, when we cross over the Yarden, we should have the brachas, the clothes of Hagrizim and Harevel. That was once in the history of the world. It was never repeated again. So the Bahag wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. Bahag lived in the days of the Gaonim. So the Rambam is surprised, he writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos, why did the Halachas Gedolos include the mitzvah of Hagris Maharevo, the Brachas of Kolos? That was once in the history of the world. We don't have that repeated again. So it doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvos. So I think Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo was a businessman who died, I think, in the early, he lived in Europe, then he was a Zionist, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he died in Eretz Yisrael, so he put out these three fat volumes, Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a poem that they used to recite, I guess, on Shavuos. The Balei HaTosi used to write the piyutim that were called Azharis. They were rattled off in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, not in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. They would list off all of the 613 mitzvahs. Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from, in Europe, as a child, they used to say half of the Azharis on the first day Shavuos, half on the second day. And they all didn't follow, most of the piyutim, they didn't follow the Rambam's opinion. They followed the Goenim's opinion, the Bahag's opinion, that you even include in the minyan Taryag, include mitzvahs that are only midirabbanan. That's the Rambam's first klal. He said you only include mitzvahs that are minatorah. Targum mitzvahs are not allowed to Moshe Mitzvah. The dinim the rabbanim were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Bahag apparently had a different gears than the Gemara. The Rambam's gears was Tariag Mitzvah is never allowed to Moshe Mitzvah. The Gemara in the end of Makkas. So the Bahag's gears was Tariag Mitzvah is never allowed to Israel. He didn't have the gears of never allowed to Moshe Mitzvah. The Bahag quotes it like that. So the minig always was that they said these piyutim, and the piyutim, all the paitanim, they all followed the Bahag. They all included Mitzvahs the Rabbanim as well. The Rav Sadia Gaon wrote this poem. It's probably 2-3 pages long, where he lists off all the Tariag mitzvahs. So this balabas, this businessman, extremely learned person, tries to work out a whole system. What were the guiding principles of Rav Sadia Gaon in determining what belongs in the Sefer mitzvahs and what not? And sometimes it's unclear what he's driving at, which mitzvah he's driving at. So he has these 3 fat volumes to explain the 4 pages. The whole poem of Rav Sadia Gaon probably only 3-4 pages long. He has 3 volumes the size of Bava Basra to explain what the shita is of Midian HaMitzvahs. So regarding this, about the Brachas Kolah, Harizim HaRebel, this was once in the history of the world, so Hiru HaShoah. The Bahag doesn't count the other Hiru HaShoah. So why does he include this? He says, no. The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Nitzavim, I think, and this Taras Hashem Elokeinu had Niglos Lono Vaneinu Adonim Lasu Kodim Yater Hazois. So the Gemara says, based on that pasuk, that the principle Kol Yisrael Harevim Zebezed didn't set in till after Brachas Zeklolos the Hagrizim and Harevim. So Kol Yisrael Harevim Zebezed, responsibility for each other, obligation to see that everybody else observes the mitzvahs, that is a din l'doros, and that began after the Brachas Zeklolos. So that's what Rabbi Yerucham Perler thinks, that the Bahag meant what he counted the mitzvah brachas of klal hagris ma'arez. It didn't mean the brachas of klalas. That was once in the history of the world. It meant what was accomplished through the brachas of klalas was the principle of orvus. So he means to count orvus as one of the tayag mitzvahs at the Kol Yisrael are arevim zebazeh. That is a din l'doros. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael once in the history of the world, the Hiru HaShoah. Bayom Meshetabras Hayarden, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, when you want to establish a Medina, you should make sure that the Medina is established based on the Torah. Takimas Avonim, you should put Avonim in the Yarden and to write the whole Torah. Imagine a government, they want to put together a new government now, that the Hashkaf of the government is, we stand for Chilul Shabbos. That's what the party is running. We want to have Chilul Shabbos. How can you do such a thing? Wow. Ay, ay, ay. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed them this Hiru HaShoah, they should write, when they go to Gilgal, they should the Avonim that they put up in the Yarden, they should take them with them. Tahagriz Maharevo. V'chasaptal ha'avonim is called Dibyata Razois Ba'er Heitev. Maze Ba'er Heitev. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Vishivim Loshim. They should write it in translation. Who is it for? Obviously for the Umas Oilam. So the Gemara says, we're supposed to make the Chumash available to the Umas HaOilam. Hi, the Gemara has a din. We learn that from the Pasuk, L'Osechem Chogoy, Mishpat Mal Yidom Halu Luka. You're not allowed to teach Torah to the Goyim. The Gemara says, Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marosh Kiros Yankiv. It only belongs to the Jewish people. You're not allowed to teach Torah to the Nochrim. So the Sri Yesh has a whole essay about this. He says that he quotes earlier Poskim to talk about this. They say that really goes on the Torah Shabbat. The Torah Shabbat is open to the public that you may make available to the Yomasim. Chasavta lahavonim es kol dibra Torah says by a heitev, she writes Mishivim Loshim to make Torah Shabbat available to the Yomasim. The Torah Shabbat should not be so.
Doesn't the Gemara, I think, in Megillah make it sound like the Torah Shabbat was tragedy when the
Chachamim
were forced to write the Septuagint?
Yes.
Is that a stira?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. The Gemara says that he took the 71 Chachamim, 72, what is it? 72 Chachamim, they put them in 72 different rooms, and they all decided to change, they weren't talking to each other. They all decided to change, not to change, to not to translate literally, a whole bunch of psukim. So they say in the name of Rabbi Hutna, Zechon Levracha, he was a very clever fellow, a very clever Talmid Chacham. So he said, that wasn't such a big miracle. If they would have been in the same room, and they would have agreed, that would have been a miracle. 72 different rooms, and they said the same thing. That's okay. He always had comments like that. Yeah. The Gemara has Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel regarding the din of Isha Ubita. What does it say? You're not allowed to marry your... If I'm married, I'm not allowed to marry my mother-in-law, I'm not allowed to marry my stepdaughter, my wife's daughter. So the Pasuk has an expression, most Ba'esh Yisrifu, there's a Chiv Srefa. So it says, Ba'esh Yisrifu Oso V'yeshen. So the Tanoim one. Why are they both wives Chayv Misa? One wife is married Beheta. The other wife who's living, the other one, either the mother or the daughter, that's the one who's violating the Issa. But the one who's married to the husband, she's not violating any of there. So why does she get the death penalty? So there's Machlekes HaTanaim, how to translate the Pasuk. So one, I think it's Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. So I think Rabbi Shmuel translates as hen, that we in English, the word one, O-N-E, is hen, one. And it means one. Also the as hen, as achas mehen. You don't put both of the wives to death. You only put one of them to death. The one who's not married to me. The one that I married, that was Beheta. The other one is Chai Misa. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, Eshen means Ashtehen. But they're not both Chai Misa. The one that I married, Beheta, is not. There's no Aveira over there. So Rabbi Akiva, and we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Chamosa lachamisa sishtoi, there's no Srefa. There's only Chiv Srefa if the wife is still alive. And then he's Baal Chamosam. But if the wife died already, you're not allowed to marry Chamosam, but there won't be any Chiyav Sreifa. Is there an Isser? So all the Rishonim say, yes, there is an Isser. So Rashi on that Gemara, that's a Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, San Yibam is also. So Rashi on the Gemara says, there's no Koris either. There's no Misa, there's no Koris. But it's Orur, Orish Ochevim Chosanto. The only Isser is what it says over here. It's an interesting Rashi. Rashi is making an assumption that the Arurim are adding on something that you wouldn't have known from the other Psukim, the Chumash. Chosanto, if you just learn Achrim Mos Kedoshim, you would think that Chosanto is only also when the wife is alive. After the wife dies, there shouldn't be any Isser at all. So this Orish Ochevim Chosanto, Pasuk Chav Gimel, in chapter Chav Zayin, in Parshas Kisavai, adds on an Isa, an Orur, an Isa Deraisa, by Chosanta Lachamisa Sishtai. Other Rishonim disagree. The Ramban and the Rashba, they disagree with Rashi. What are you talking about? Rabbi Kiva just learned so in the Pasuk that there's no Srefa, but there will be Koris. And Rashi holds no, there's no Srefa, there's no Koris, only Anisa Orur. So in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer, the Nodi Behuda has comments that are printed on the side of the page. So he raises an issue with Kiddushin Bitopsin or not. Usually, Kiddushan atopsim mechaybi lavin, but Kiddushan anatopsim mechaybi krisis. So Chosanta lachamisa sishtoi is a machlekes Rashi and the Ramban, whether there's koris or not. The lechert should be, same thing whether the vlad is a mamzer. Would the vlad be considered a mamzer or not? If he marries, there was a maisa here in Monticello, there used to be a big Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Alan Schwartz's uncle. Rabbi Alan Schwartz teaches Tanakh here. He's also a big Talmid Chacham. So his grandfather was Rav Moshe Schneider, was a big Talmid Chacham. So his uncle was Rav Shlomo Schneider, who was a rabbi in Monticello for many years. So a couple came to him. They wanted to have a bar mitzvah for their son. They lived in Monticello. They weren't too observant. They wanted to have a bar mitzvah. So they started asking about the whole background, the whole story. So it turns out this fellow was married and his wife passed away. He apparently was several, quite much older than his wife. He passed away. The wife passed away, so he married his mother-in-law, who's a few years older than him. Chosanto, Lachamisa's Ishtoi. He didn't ask any shaylas. He married his mother-in-law. Now they bring in the son. They had a son. And now they bring the son. He should be bar mitzvah and shul on Shabbos. So the shaylas is the kid a mamzer. Even if he is a mamzer, you got to teach him Torah. You got to give him an aliyah. But the question is the child a mamzer? Can he marry a regular Jewish girl? So it should really depend on this machlokes Rashi and the Ramban, whether Chosanta Lachamisa's Ishtoi. We pass like Rabbi Kiva that there's no Sreifa, but is there chorus? So Rashi said there's no chorus, only Anisa Oror, Oror Shechedim Chosanta. And the Ramban holds on that there is chorus. So the Pashti says whether Kiddush and Atops in the mother in law, whether the Vlad is a Mamza, should depend whether there's chorus. So then Shlomo Schneider quotes, he was a big Tomachok. He wasn't too busy there in Monticello, he didn't have too many issues coming up in the Rabbanis there. So he sat and he learned and he wrote Svarim. None of the Svarim printed till after he passed away, 30 years ago. So he quotes that the Orach Laner and Yevamis and other Achayim are not so sure that the Dogma of Bava is right. Some of them want to say that even if you hold like Rashi, that there's no Kares, but the Yisr in principle should have had Kares. The Yisr Chosanto, while the wife is alive, does have Kares. Even though Lachamisa Sishto, there's no Kares, maybe the child is still a Mamza, maybe he's a Kiddush and Tobson. And others want to say that even if there is Kares, even if you all like the Rabban, that there is Kares, but the Issa was lowered. It used to have Sreifa. Now Lachamisa Sishto, there's no Sreifa. So maybe since it's a weaker Issa, maybe the Kiddush and Tobson, the Vlad will not be a Mamza. So you have a whole literature on this topic just because the fellow, after his wife passed away, he married his mother-in-law. The Mishnayos have an erevin that there's a natural dislike between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. But a mother-in-law and a son-in-law, usually, they do get along well. The mother-in-law always has the attitude that the daughter-in-law stole her son from her. But she doesn't feel bad. When a daughter gets married, she's very happy, and she gets along with the son-in-law. The Gemara says in Pesachim, I think, that you got to be careful. You have to watch your wife. She may fall in love with her oldest son-in-law. Here, the mother-in-law married her son-in-law after the daughter died, so she married the son-in-law. Ma'isa Shehoya. The last of these Arurim, there were 11 Arurim. Or shall Yochim is Dibra Terazos La Soy Soy Sam. What is Mesh Or shall Yochim? It's a Taisus and Soita, a Masecha Soita. Taisus quotes more Yerushalmis than normal. And other Masechtas, they don't quote the Yerushalmi so much. The ones who wrote the Taisus and Soita had the Yerushalmi. And they quoted every other page has another Yerushalmi. So they quote the Yerushalmi that the Ramban Ala Torah quotes also. What do you mean? Or shall Yochim? Reish Torah no Fellas? That you have to pick up the Sefer Torah. It goes on the one who gets Hagbah. That when you get Hagbah, you should pick up the Sefer Torah in a proper fashion. So the Ramban HaChomish writes that that's only an Asmachta. That's not the Pshut Toshal Mikra. The Pasuk reads, Or Asha Le'yakim Zdeva Tarazos La'asos Osam. It doesn't go on picking up. But because it's an Asmachta and Hagbah, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Maybe that's why the Gemara says that The one who does Galila in the days of the Gemara, it was the same person who did Hagbah and Galila. Today we divided them among two different people. One person gets Hagbah, one person gets Galila. The modern Gemara is the same. So the Gemara says, the one who gets Hagbah Galila, Nortel Schar Keneged Kulam. He gets reward for his mitzvah of Hagbah Galila, Keneged all of the Olam Latar. He gets a lot more reward. I remember when I was a student in high school, so I went to yeshiva here. And then in the summertime, I used to learn in Brooklyn in the Miri Yeshiva. So the head of the yeshiva at that time used to be Rabbi Avram Kalmanovich. He was very, very tall. He was 7 feet tall or something like that. Very tall person. He was active during the Second World War to save a lot of Jews' lives. He was in America and the whole Miri Yeshiva was in Europe. He was involved in Hatzolah work. So he got Hagbah 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. He got Hagbah every single day. He didn't take any aliyahs, just got Hagbah. The Gemara says the one who gets Hagbah, not Tolskar, can he get Kulam. in Achrayim it's a machlokes. In the days of the Gemara, the one who had a hagba in Glila was the same person. Today, the two different people. So it's a machlokes and Achrayim. Which one is not toscha keneged kulam? So Rabbi Avram Kalmanovich followed that opinion. The one who gets hagba is the one who gets the schar. So that's not really pshuto shel mikra. That's an asmachta. What is the pshuto shel mikra? So the Ramban explains pshuto shel mikra is, if a person is the melech, or a person is a public speaker and has the ability to influence the public to keep Torah mitzvahs, he can make him Torah. A person has a lot of money, he can sponsor yeshivas, he can sponsor publication of svarim. So that's called Asher Yochim is Divrei Torah. Baruch Asher Yochim is Divrei Torah Zos. Anor Asher Lo Yochim is Divrei Torah Zos. Person had the opportunity to be make him Torah, and he didn't seize the opportunity. So that's the bracha niklala. Then you have the teuchah. The teuchah begins with the brachas, and then you have the klolas. So before you get to the klolas, so the Torah has the mitzvah in pasuk tes, in chapter chav ches, pasuk tes. Pasuk has the mitzvah of halachta bidrachov. We should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should imitate the ways of God. Why is that so? So the pashtus is because everyone was created with tzelem elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us to preserve the tzelem elokim that we have within us. Then the next pasuk continues in the Sefer Ederes of Eliyahu. They quote Biurim from the Vilna Gaon and Psukim in Tanakh. So they quote this pshat, v'halachta bidrachov. We should preserve the Tzel Malikim by going on the ways of Hashem. How do you know what are the ways of Hashem? You can philosophize from today till next year. You won't be able to figure out what are Darchei Hashem. So the Rambam writes, both in the Mishnah Torah and in the Mor Nevuchim, you have to study Tanakh. The Tanakh tells you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and that's how to fulfill the mitzvah of Halachta Midracha. So the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yud, V'ro Kalami Ho'aretz, when all the nations in the world will see. Because the Jewish people are supposed to serve as Or Lagoyim. That's what the Navi Yeshaya says. They're supposed to serve as a Dugma for the Umas Oilam. Or Lagoyim in what area? Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpocha. That's unique for the Jewish people. It's not relevant for the Umas Oilam. Or Lagoyim in this area. Honesty, integrity, a work ethic, cleanliness, and so on. We're not doing such a good job in that area, but we're supposed to serve as an Or Lagoyim in honesty, integrity, and so on. So the pasuk continues, and the Gemara has a tradition that anything that any of the other Nevi'im say was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Anything that it says in the Navi, any idea of Hashkafa, is rooted in the pasuk in Chumash. Here it says in Chumash, the Jews are supposed to serve as Or Lagoyim. When all the nations in the world will see, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that we have succeeded in preserving the Tzelem Alekim that we have, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, by doing the halachta bidrachov, and they can do the same. So the Yoru Mimekor, they will learn from you how to lead their lives with Yerushamayim. Not that they'll be afraid of you. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. When the Umas Olam will see that we're wearing Tefillin Shel Rosh, they'll be afraid of us and they won't start up with us. Ela Tefillin Shel Barosh. So Rashi comments on that Gemara. It's a Gemara in a few places. So Rashi comments, what does Tefillin Shel Barosh have to do with Shem Hashem? The Rashi says that the Tefillin Shel Barosh has a shin. We have two shins. Gemara sounds like it only have one shin on the Bayis Shel Barosh. Then you have the Dalet in the back, then you have the Yud on the Shel Yad. The shin and Dalet and the Yud is Shem Hashem. One in the Zayin Shem is Shem and the Chokem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shel Barosh has two-thirds of the Shem. Has the shin and the Dalet, has Rov of the Shem Hashem. So Rashi said that's how the Tanoim were interpreting the Pasuk. When all the nations of the world will see that we're wearing Tefillin Shel Rosh, Shem Hashem Nikra Lech, we have a raiv of the Shem Hashem, the Yoreh Merechot, they'll be afraid to start up with us. But the Vilna Gaon thought that that's an additional level of interpretation. That's not really Pshuto Shel Mikra. Tosis doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosis says that the Dalet and the Yud, the Gemara says, Keshel Shel Tefillin, Halacha L'Moshe Messina, that you have to have a Keshel Shel Rosh, you have to have a Keshel Shel Yad, that you need a Keshel. But that the Kesher should look like a Dalet, Kesher should look like a Yud. Tosis has a Rai from the Gemara, but Mamadlik, and they think that's only Midirabonim. That's not Minatur. So they don't think that that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Shem Hashem Nikra Lecho, that they have two out of the three letters of Shin Dalet Yud. That's all midirabbanan. Tosis doesn't agree. But the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying the pshuta shal mikra means when the Yomim Sodom will see that we have succeeded in preserving the Tzalim Alakim, that's Shem Hashem Nikra Alakha. And they also were created the Tzalim Alakim. They can also do things to preserve their Tzalim Alakim. The Yorub and Mecca, they will learn from us how they too can act with Yerushalayim. And the Psukim give all the brachas. If we observe all the mitzvahs, Torah, we will be given brachas. And the last of the brachas, Pasuk Vav here, right before Shishi, is Baruch Atah B'Vayach, Baruch Atah B'Yitzei Secho. So the Gemara in Bob Metzia has a comment. Baruch Atah B'Vayach, you are blessed when you come into the world. Baruch Atah B'Yitzei Secho, you should be blessed when you die. Kishem Shebi'oscha Lo'olam B'Lochet, just like when you were born, the Shomer Shanasah to be Tohirahi, when you were born with a pure soul. So to Yitzi'oscha Men Olam. HaKadosh Baruch, he gives us a blessing, we shouldn't sin. We shouldn't taint our neshama. We should, Yitzhiyosch Man Olam should be with a pure neshama, belichet, just like Biyoschal Olam. So those who believe in the concept of Gilgal, that there are people who died a long time ago, then they're brought back to life in a different body, the soul comes back to life because they did some Avera in an earlier Gilgal, and they have to be Mesakan that Avera. And they claim that there's some people came back 5-6 Gilgulim, until they were able to be mesakenim. So one of the Gedolei HaRishonim in the days of the Ran, the big Gadol HaDor was Reb Chisdoy Kreskes. We have very little from him in Halacha, but the Shita Mekubetzes quotes him every so often. So Reb Chisdoy Kreskes wrote a sefer on Hashkafa, on Amunah. It's called Or Hashem, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he gives you a list of what we believe in, then he gives you a list of what we do not believe in, then he gives you a list of things that are not part of our religion, neither one way or the other. So he says, the issue of Gilgal, that's not part of our religion. Maybe yes, maybe no, but it's like, what's the distance of the sun from the earth? That's not part of our religion, whatever it is. What time is the Shkia today? That's not part of our religion. It has nothing to do with us. That's a Metziah. So this, whether there is Gilgal or not Gilgal, he writes, that's not part of our religion. So that's what the Rashash writes on this Gemara, Baruch Atah B'Vayach, Baruch Atah B'Seisach, Kishem Shebi'oscha Lo'olam was B'lochet, so to Yitzhiyoscha Lo'olam Shebi B'lochet. Who says that B'Yoscha Lo'olam was B'lochet? Maybe the person is a Gilgal of a previous person, and he was born into the world with the Chet. His soul is tainted from the Chet that he did before. So the Rashash writes, Mikan K'tzas Stira L'Balei HaGilgal. This comment that the Gemara makes on this pasuk seems to contradict those who believe in the Gilgal. So the many Hasidim boycott the Rashash because he doesn't believe in Gilgal. That's like cutting off your nose to spite someone else. You don't want to read the Rashash. The Rashash is fantastic. Rashash was a wealthy businessman. He lived in the late 1800s. He was the Rosh HaKohel in Vilna. He paid a lot to help out the publishing of the Vilna Shas. And he always has, when we look at him, I'm sure a lot of times he doesn't talk our language. He's bothered with different things. Look at the Rashash. He lived in our, he lived over 100 years ago. But he talks our language. We understand what's bothering him and what his solutions are and what his problems are. So you don't look at the Rashash. You're just harming yourself. So first you have all the brachas, then you have all the kololas. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk. Towards the end, towards the very end of the Techachim, Lo Sish Malasas Kaldivat Arazos, Aksuv Masayf Hazel, Liiras Hashem Hanichbad Ba'anor Hazel, Eis Hashem Elokecha. If you will not act properly to demonstrate Moira, Liyiras Hashem Hanichbad Hanor Hazeh, to demonstrate Moira for the name of Hashem, Eis Hashem Elokecha. What is that referring to? If Hashem is Makoscha, Kodesh Baruch Hu will punish us. So the Gemara interprets the Hifla Haflazu any there Mahi. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to punish us? What kind of a punishment? So the Gemara says, the Gemara interprets that it means Malkus. What Avera did he do that he wasn't careful with Meira Hashem? So the Gemara says that Mekalach Avera B'Shem, if you curse someone else using Shem Hashem, then we give you Malkus. It should have really been a Lav Shem B'Maisa. There's a Machloikas Hatanoim. Whether Lav Shem B'Maisa Loikam Olav or not. So the accepted opinion is Lav Shem B'Maisa ain't Loikam Olav. The Gemara says that there are three exceptions to the rule. So the one of them is Mekalach Avera B'Shem. If you use the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to curse another Jew. So that's that you get Malkus. That's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it should have been labeled as a Lav Shem B'Maisa ain't Loikam Olav. So the Torah says here in this pasuk, Loikam Olav. So there's a Ravid on the Rambam, where the Ravid says only if it's Mekalach Avera B'Shem using the Shem HaMefayrosh. And he says, because that's what it says in the pasuk. V'lasishma l'yiras Hashem ha'nichpad v'hanora hazeh eis yudkei vavkei Hashem eloi kecha. So he says the only time if Hashem is makos, means malkus, the only time you get malkus, if you curse the other person using the Shem ha'mefarash. Mekala lo v'v'imoi is chayv misa. Chayv misa, there is no rule that you have to have a lab sheish b'mais. The Gadef is Chayv Nisa, even though it's a Lab Shem B'Maisa. The Gadef is a Machlekes Hatanoim, if a person was Megadef B'Shoigik, if he's Chayv Chatos or not. Because it's a cloud that a Lab Shem B'Maisa, you don't bring a Chatos. That's the first Mishnah in Krisis. Lab Shem B'Maisa, there's no Pesach Amilu, it's only an essay, so there's no Chatos. But by Misa, there is no such cloud. There's no cloud at all. By Malkus, there are rules and regulations. Whoever does an Avera that's similar to L'Sachsim Shabbadisha gets Malkus. By Misa, we don't have any klal. Whenever it says there's Misa. But there is no Tzara Shabbat, there is no klal. So for Misa, you don't need a Lav Sheish B'Maisa. So Mekal Alavim is Chayv Misa, even is not Mekal with the Shem Amtoirish. But Mekal Chaver B'Shem should really be a Shaila Malkus, but it's a Lav Sheish B'Maisa. So it's an exception to the rule, despite the fact it's a lav shem b'maisa loikam olav. So the Raven has this chiddush. The Avdavala Soloveitchik writes about this in his Sefer on the Rambam. He explains where the Raven get it from. So he says, because it's learned out from this pasuk in the Yiras Hashem Anichbad V'Aner Hazeh Eis Hashem Elokecha goes on the Shem Amforish. Truth of the matter, that's what it says in the Raven himself. The Raven, we have it printed in the end of Masechah Shavuos. They have the Rif printed in the regular one, they have the riff printed. And then they have the Ravid on the riff, explains that explicitly. Avraham Soloveitchik apparently didn't realize that. The Ravid himself said that. So he thought he was discovering America. So he printed this in a Sefer on the Rambam. This is the Pshat on the Ravid. The Ravid himself says that's the Pshat. Why Mekal Chaver B'Shem is only Loike if he's Mekal B'Shem on first? Because he learned that from this Pasuk. Then there's a famous pasuk, Gam kochol v'chamakos shelo kosa b'sefer haTorah zos yale mashem alecha ad hishamdoch. If we'll violate the mitzvahs of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish us, even with a sickness and with a punishment. Shelo kosa b'sefer haTorah zos. So everybody says there's a medrash that says shelo kosa. What's the chol v'chamakos shelo kosa b'sefer haTorah zos? So the medrash says zulmisas tzaddikim. That refers to when tzaddikim die. So there used to be a great goyin in Reisha. He was killed by the Nazis. Rabbaron Levine, his grandson used to teach here. He was the head of the economics department. His grandson was my first cousin. So the grandfather has a Shadus Tshuva Sefer. He was a member of the Polish parliament. He's a very good speaker in Yiddish and in Polish. And he was the Aguda representative. Aguda was a party, like Republicans and Democrats, like an Eretz Yisrael. So there was, Aguda had a representative in the parliament, and there was a period of time that they made a coalition government, and Aguda is part of the government ruling Poland. As Rabbi Tendler says, he understands why the Polish government collapsed. Because Aguda was in the coalition, and the whole government collapsed. Anyway, so some of the Jews he wrote while he was traveling by train. to go to Warsaw to attend the parliament. Meira, he's on train. He doesn't have all the sorim, but when he came back, he filled in all the missing marmakonis. So he has one essay in a sefer on Shabbos of Tshuvas, Avnei Chefetz. There's one essay about Mamar Chazal that people quote that don't exist. So he said, this one, he says that medrash is also lakosav. Doesn't say anywhere. There is no such medrash. He has a whole list of other famous mamari chazal that people quote the name chazal that just don't exist. He said this one also doesn't exist. Then part of the punishment will be the heshiv Hashem Mitzrayim ba'oni yois. The pasuk says part of the punishment of the Jewish people will be at one time that we will be brought back to Egypt, we'll be sold as slaves there. So the Gemara in Sukkah mentions that in Alexandria in Egypt there was a big Jewish community, and they really violated this pasuk. Appears three times in Chumash that you're not allowed to go back to live in Egypt. And the Gemara says the reason why their whole community was wiped out is because they violated this din, because they weren't allowed to live in Egypt. They had a brera not to. The Chidor wrote on history a little bit. He has the Sefer Shem Agdoilem, and he writes that some historian wrote that he saw a letter written by the Rambam. The Rambam signs off at the end of the letter, the man who violates three lavim every day, Moshe ben Maimon. So he says he doesn't believe that that's an authentic letter. He thinks it's a forgery. If the Rambam would feel that he's in violation of the law, he would have left Egypt. Why would he stay in Egypt? He thinks that it's not true. He had no choice. Look, he was running away. There were pogroms at that time. So he had no choice. He had to run away. Pikuach nefesh is decha kol haTorah kula. But in principle, there is such a din that the Jews are not allowed to go back to Egypt. Some of the Rishonim say, the Ritva and Yuma quotes this. Some Rishonim say that one is only a violation of the Yisr. If he goes back to Egypt, the Membeis Masoes, where it's listed off in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, they travel from this city to that city to that city to that city. So if you go back from Eretz Yisrael the same way we came, from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, if you go back the same way backwards, then you're a violation of the law. But if you fly from America to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going back the same way that they came. Some say you're not in violation. I think he quotes it from the Iranian. I think the Ritvon Yomakoska says that Hashim Hashem and Tzvayim Baniyos Baderach Hashem Marti L'chol Osasuvah L'rosa. The same way you left Egypt, you're going to go back the same way. That's a psachidish. But it explains why you need Parshas Masei. We don't understand what's the significance of the whole Membeis Masei. What does the Chumash have to write? So the Rambam and the Marad Buchum talks about it. Why does the Baruch Shalom list off all the names, such a big chunk of the Chumash, Parshas Maaseh? So according to this opinion, that one only is in a violation of the Yisr of going back to Egypt. If you go back the same way that we left Egypt, then you understand why the Chumash had it right. Had it right. Eile Divri HaBris says at the end of the Techecha, this is the text of the Kriyas Bris, Asher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, Lichras is Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Moav. Milvad HaBris, in addition, over and above the Bris, Asher Koris Itom, Bichor Reif. That's what it says in the end of Parshas Bichu Koisai, after the Techecha there. How does it say? Eile HaChukim HaMishpotim HaTaros, Asher Nosan Hashem Be'eno Be'eme Bnei Yisrael Be'har Sina B'yad Moshe. That Techecha was declared, was recited at Har Sinai. The Brachas of Klolos was the text of the Bris at Har Sinai. And now, as Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jews are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, makes another Krisis Bris. Eile Dere Bris, Vada Bris of Shekhara Sita Mechorev. Why was there a need for another Bris? They ready? Chorev is Har Sinai. Why was there a need for another Bris? So the Pasuk is going to tell us in Nitzav, Lo Yitchem Levatchem Enochi Karbis Es Habis Azos. The original Bris at Har Sinai was only made with the people who were present at that time. The Gemara says all the souls of the future generations were there, but they weren't there in body, they were there in soul. So the Bris was only binding on that, on the people who were actually there. But the second Bris says, Lo Yitchem Levatchem, this Bris is not like the first one at Har Sinai. It's only made with the people present. Ki Es Asher Yeshna Po Imanu Emen Hayom. So the Gemara in Shavuot says, "Asher nenet poimano hayom" is the Doris Haboyim. So we today are obligated to observe all the mitzvahs and the Torah, not because of the bris at Har Sinai. That bris was only binding on the people who are present. We're obligated to observe the Torah because of the second bris. Second bris was made with Bnei Yisrael as a nation. Why was there a need for the first bris? Why did they just make the second bris from the very outset? The answer is that the Jewish people didn't become a nation in the fullest sense of the word until the brachas had closed at Hagrizim and Harevel. Until you had Kol Yisrael Harevim Zabazeh. Everybody was really Yechidim until they had Anistaros Hashem Elkeinu V'Hadig Los Lono V'Anein Al Olam. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, how come you have 11 Nekudas on the 11 letters? It teaches you that the din of Kol Yisrael Harevim Zabazeh didn't set in, didn't begin until the brachas had closed at Hagrizim and Harevel. So that's when we became a nation. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, the Ribbono Shel Olam really wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu should broker the bris. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to cross over the Yarden. He was punished, not allowed to cross over the Yarden. And the bris only begins, the bris with Bnei Yisrael as a nation, only begins, you only have a status of a nation if you have a national homeland. We only got the national homeland when he crossed over the Yarden. So if you want Moshe Rabbeinu to make the bris, and it can't be made a chutz loretz, he can't cross over the Yarden. How's it going to go? Moshe Rabbeinu began the bris, and he told Yeshua ben Nun, you completed the Hagriz Ma'arevon. So this bris at Arbis Mayav was the beginning of the bris that was completed at Hagriz Ma'arevon, when the Orbis was clinched. That's why there was a need for the second bris, because the first bris's bris was only binding on the Yechidim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, this second bris that I'm starting now, which will be completed by Yeshua ben Nun, when you go to Hagriz Ma'arevon, this new bris is lo yitchem levatchem enochi kareis es habis. This is not only with Yechidim. This is asher einenu poimanu amayam. This is binding on all the future generation, because this is a bris with the nation. If you have a nation makes a treaty, makes an agreement with another country, it's binding even after that president retires. Even 100 years later, the country is the same country. It's a hemshech. So we are still a hemshech of the generation who entered into the bris in days of Moshe Rabbeinu at Arbis Moav and in days of Yeshua ben Nun. That was one and the same bris. At the end of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Musar. It took 40 years. This is the end of the 40 years. It took 40 years of me teaching Torah to you, and you finally understand the message that I'm trying to give you. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Ein Oram Oimer Al Das Rabba Ad Lachar Aboim Shana. A person doesn't really get to understand if he's thinking to try to understand what his Rebbe said. He won't understand it till 40 years later. There are a lot of things that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik 60 years ago, and I begin to understand it now. I come upon more Gemaras. Oh, that's what he was talking about. Another Mishnah. Oh, that's what he meant. A lot of times you don't understand things when you hear them. 40 years later, 60 years later, you'll understand it better. So the Gemara has a din. A young Talmid Chacham is referred to by the Gemara as a Tzurva Midrabbanan. How young is young? So the Gemara says, until the age of 40. It really should depend 40 years after you learned by your Rebbe. So Tosfos says it should depend on that, but the Gemara says not so. When you reach the age of 40, that's a cutoff point. When you reach the age of 40, so before the age of 40, the Gemara says that Talmid Chacham shouldn't pass on any shaylas, unless there's no other Talmid Chacham in the city. So no one's going to take a stand. So if there's someone else, you have to paskin. But if there is someone else, one shouldn't paskin until the age of 40. Quite a few years ago, there was a Chag HaSmicha in the yeshiva. Every couple of years, they have a Chag HaSmicha. This year also. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan's Yahrzeit is Chof Aleph Ador. So this coming Ador, they're going to have a Chag HaSmicha. So many years ago, they asked me to speak in connection with the Chag HaSmicha. I was talking about this Gemara. So Rabbi Dr. Lamb was not happy about that. Why? I said, before the age of 40, not about a Paschal. So did in the Gemara. So the Perisha did. Talmid Chacham before the Kitten. None of the boys are 40 years old. Those who are over 40 are not the big learners. They're a couple of older people are getting smicha also. They're not the big learners. The big learners are the younger ones. But that's what the Gemara says. Till the age of 40, there's a Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin that is Zalkamamri, the end of the Daf Peites. Zalkamamri is only Chayv Misa if he's a Chokh Mashigir lo Hairoa, and he's passing against the Bezna Godel, so some of the people may listen to his Psak. But let's say he's a Tamnish lo Higir lo Hairoa, just a student, so no one's going to listen to him anyway. So he's not Chayv Misa. Nimtza Chumra Kulo. Because his Avera is bigger, he's only a student, and he's taking a stand, paskening against the Bezna Godel. But because his Avera is bigger, he's only a student, and he's taking a stand with chutzpah against Bezna Godel. So he nimtza chumra kulo, so he's not chayv misa. So how do you define Talmud Shalo Higiyah L'Hayro? So Rashi says on the Mishnah, he's not 40 years old. You have to be 40 years old to be able to pasken. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam says, Talmud Shalo Higiyah L'Hayro means he doesn't have smicha. Higiyah L'Hayro means he knows how to learn and he got smicha. Lo Higiyah L'Hayro means he doesn't have smicha. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his tshuvas, it was a letter that he sent to Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog published the Sefer, the whole Sefer, 200 pages long, and it says on the top of every page, Shir Aleph. This was one Shir that he said, 200 pages. Unless he said the shir for 20 hours or something. So he gave a shir about the smicha. So in the middle of the shir, he was assuming, like the Apikursim assumed, that smicha always used to be biyad. Like Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, he put both hands on Yeshua's head. Baruch Hashem told him to put it with samata as yotchol, or put one hand, he put both hands. He loved Yeshua ben Nun. So there was smicha biyad, and now we have smicha bepeh. So when did it change? We just appoint, we declare the person as a summer. So the Gemara says, only Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha biyad. After that, it was always b'shem. They just call him Rebbe Atta, Yesh Lecha Rishus Lod Dinik Nosses. And the Apikursus history books write there was always smicha biyad till the days of the Roman persecution. Then they were afraid to do smicha biyad. The Romans would kill him, so they started giving smicha b'shem. So Rabbi Herzog adopted that position against the Gemara. The Moshe Feinstein was very upset, so he wrote him a very, very nasty letter. As it was printed, it's extremely nasty. And Rabbi Alper told us he saw the original text. It was even nastier than the way it appeared. And Moshe doctored it up when he printed it in his sefer. I think it's the first letter, Chelek HaShemishpat, Chelek Alp, the letter to Rabbi Herzog. So he didn't like that. Didn't like that. So Moshe writes to the air. Why did the Rambam learn Pshat Talmud Shalo Higiyah L'Hayro? Means he doesn't have smich. Why didn't he learn that Rashi younger than 40? So he says, because younger than 40 is not an absolute din. The Gemara says, if you're the only rabbi, you're the only Talmud Chacham in the community, so you should pasken. So it's going to depend whether I'm the only rabbi. So that's where the Rambam didn't think that's what it meant. But that's how Rashi reads the Mishnah. Talmud Shalo Higiyah L'Hayro is not Chai Misim Mishum Zaka Mamre. Rashi learns he's not yet 40 years old. So Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Musa, finally after 40 years, you understand Torah, you understand Hashkafa. Voilach eschem aboim shana ba'midbar la'bolas ha'masech me'alech v'nalcha le'bozo me'al raglecha lechem la'chaltem v'yayim m'shech lo'shesisim ye'it mon v'man teidu ki ane Hashem alakechem. I can make miracles for you. I have done miracles for you. I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Just observe all the mitzvahs and everything will be wonderful. So the pasuk says that they were wearing shoes. The pasuk says, the shoes, normally, if a person is wearing shoes for 40 years, the shoes are going to fall apart. And they're not traveling by train. They're walking the whole time. So how come there was a miracle? So the korban nesanal on the bottom of the rosh is bothered with the kasha. The Gemara says that Bnei Yisrael in the midbar, after the chet of the miraglim, well, menudim lashamayim. They were like menudim. The Gemara has a suffix whether one is in a state of neither, he's allowed to wear shoes or not. One is in cherem. Cherem is a deeper degree of nidui, stronger degree of nidui. One is in shiva, not allowed to wear shoes. One is in menuda, one is in cherem, has to observe avelus on himself. He's considered like a gabra ktili, he observes shiva on himself. The Gemara is mesupik about the details. So if one is menuda, is he allowed to wear shoes or not? So he's bothered with the kasha. Why didn't the Gemara raise the issue with the pasuk? It says, "Na'akol abosam ba'al ma'aglecha." Obviously, they were wearing shoes in the midbar, and we assume that there were menudim l'shamayim. So maybe the Gemara will answer like they answered on other kashas. Maybe menudah l'shamayim is kal. Maybe when Bezin puts a person in nidui, maybe it's mochomer. The Gemara is not sure which is mochomer, but they should have raised the issue. That's the Korban Nisanos kasha on the Rosh HaMoikotin. They should have raised the issue that it says in the Chumash that the Aboim Shon and the Midbar, they were wearing shoes. This Shabbos is also from the Sheb de Nechemta. Next week is going to be the last one. So the concluding pasuk is the famous Ani Hashem Be'ito Achisheno. The Baruch Hashem is going to hasten. Chish means Mehera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hasten the Geula, but it's going to come Be'ito. So isn't that a contradiction? Gemara says, yeah, there's Be'ito and there's Achisheno. This is Man Kotsu, the Rebbeinu Shlomam said as Man, when the Gula will take place. And if the Jewish people deserve it, he will hasten the Gula, that it should come earlier. So the Navi is really saying two different Zman, and one is Behita, and one is Achishen. I think the Gemara has a statement that Benissen Nigula, Benissen Asirim Lehigal, the Gula Asira will take place in Nissen. I think they say the name Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. So what's the pshat be'ita achishena? If we deserve, there'll be only one ador. If we don't deserve, there'll be another sheni. So it'll take another month. The Gemara doesn't seem to be talking about other rishon, other sheni. The Gemara says achishena years in advance. If the Bnei Yisrael deserve it, the gula will be years in advance. In the beginning of the parasha, we spoke a little bit about Bikurim. So the pasuk says, "V'hishtach avisel lefnei Hashem alokecho." So in the Sefer Aderes Aliyo, the Talmidei Hagra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that hishtachva is not really part of the mitzvah of Bikurim. Hishtachva, the Rambam Hilchos Bikurim doesn't quote hishtachva. It's a pasuk which doesn't quote. The Rambam, the Vilna Gaon says it's a universal din. We learn that from this pasuk, kol ha-nechnosim la-azara. Whoever enters the azara for any purpose whatsoever, before he leaves, has to be mishtachavim. So you learn Mishnah is tamid, that's the way it says. There are a lot of kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. They used to have a lottery, who's going to shech the tamid, who's going to do kabbalah sadam, who's going to do vailocha sadam, who's going to do hakkar se-murim. Every kohen did a little bit. And then the Mishnah says, he does his avayda, hishtachavah v'yotza. That refrain is repeated many, many times in Mishnah. Yishtachva v'yotze. Every kohen that does a sneeze of an avoida has to be mishtachva. The Yisraelim who come in to be oil regal, we say in the davening, Shalom ne'erayim and yishtachva l'fecham sholosh pa'amei regalenu. Because it's a mitzvah of ali oil regal, he's supposed to visit in the Azara. So then when we visit in the Azara, we have an obligation to be mishtachva. That's why we mentioned in Musaf. We should have the opportunity to visit and to be mishtachav. Then, when we on Yom Kippur, when we say the Seder Havoida, so there's a Nusach Ashkenaz and a Nusach Svar, two different texts of the Seder Havoida. So there, it's a different style, but there are two major discrepancies between the two. So one is in the Nusach Svar, it says when the Kohen Gadol finishes all day long, is in Beis HaMikdash, when he finishes, he's mishtachave and then he leaves. It should have been like that. That's based on the Mishnah in Tomid. Whoever does a sneeze of an Avaida has to be mishtachave before he leaves. Nusach Ashkenaz, so long, the Seder Avaida doesn't say at all that he was mishtachave. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik wrote in the Vatar when he was still in Europe and his father was here in Yeshiva. He used to correspond to his father. So his father gave it into the Torah Journal of the Yeshiva to print. Now it's called Beis Yitzchok, then it used to be called Heidenu. So they printed in Heidenu. He gave a suggestion. He suggested that if you should assume that it's not a mistake, maybe the Python just forgot to mention the Yishtachva. If you assume it's not a mistake, so he suggested maybe on Yom Kippur, every step of the way is a chelek of the Avoda. Not just doing this korban, that korban, that korban, that korban. Walking from here to there is also part. Everything is part. So maybe since in Parsha Zachrei Mois it doesn't mention anything about Yishtachvos, then maybe there will be a shino in the Seder Avoida if it will be Mishtachavah. That's a chiddush of a suggestion. But he tried to back it up with Gemaris to show that every step of the way, that's also a chiddush, that every step of the walking from one avodah to the other is also part of the avodah, also part of the seder hayom. So if the kohen's got to be mishtachver, it's a violation of the seder avodah hayom. The other discrepancy between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad is, it never says explicitly in the Mishnah, the Gemara, such a big Masech de Yuma, somebody broke him, and every step of the way the Tanoim discuss, which Avodah they do first, which Avodah they do second, it never says explicitly when you bring the Tomash Ben Abayim. The Avodah on Yom Kippur is divided into five units, first in Big Day Zav, then in Big Day Lovin, then Big Day Zav, then Big Day Lovin, then Big Day Zav. So when does he bring the Tomash Ben Abayim? It's not clear. Another says, but there is a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, whether he does the Tomash Ben Abayim in the fit in Big Day Zav, regular, not the Big Day Lovin, especially for Yom Kippur. So it's machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, whether he does it during the third Avodah, the third unit, or the fifth unit. So the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi Sheet, and Nusach Sfarad follows the Rambam. In the back of the Vilna Shas, they have Heores from Rav Shlomo of Vilna. He was a dayan in Vilna when the Vilna Shas was being printed. He was the proofreader of the Vilna Shas. His grandson used to teach when I was a student here in high school. His grandson was Rabbi Markelis. He was a European, so he used to teach here in Yeshiva. And he said the family tradition has it that he was the proofreader. He didn't check the galleys for publication. He didn't check it against another Gemara. He knew by heart, word for word, Gemara Rashi Tesis. They checked it for memory. So I add on, that's why every 50 pages there's a mistake on the Vilna Shas that never appears in any other edition anymore. It's a mistake that only a Litvak would make to mix up a Shin and a Samach. Because the Litvaks mispronounce Shins and a Samach, they mix everything up. So every 50 pages was such a mistake, but now in the new Gemaras they corrected all the mistakes. So Shlomo of Vilna has a comment on the end of the Gemara about this issue, whether the Tomash Ben Abayim was brought in the third unit or in the fifth unit. He thinks that they're both right and they're both wrong. He said the Mishnah says in Psochim that the Talmud was offered, Tomash Ben Abayim was offered every day 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. So he thinks when the clock strikes 2:30. So then he brings the Tomash Ben Abayim. Why should Yom Kippur be different from any other day? Mishnah Psochem, Tomin Nishchad says, when you bring the Tomash Ben Abayim every day, it takes an hour between 2:30 and 3:30, right in the middle of the afternoon. 12 to 2:30 is 2.5 hours. 3:30 to 6 is 2.5 hours. It takes an hour to bring the Tomash Ben Abayim. So you bring it 2:30. So he says, if he's a young, energetic Kohen Gadol, and his ruts and ruts, and he's running and doing everything, so he'll probably be in the unit, in the fifth unit, when the clock strikes 2:30. So he'll do it in the fifth unit of Avodah. If he's an older gentleman who can't go and he can't run so quickly, so he'll probably be in the third unit when the clock strikes 2:30. When it's 2:30, he brings, so sometimes Rashi's right, sometimes the Rambam's right. He doesn't think that either is right, that it's always in the third unit or always in the fifth unit. He says when the clock strikes 2:30, they would bring him. But that's the other discrepancy between the Nusach Ashkenaz, the Nusach Svar text of the Seder HaAvodah. We have a minig that when we recite the Seder HaAvodah, and the Chazan says, V'akonim v'ham hom, the mazor ha'koyim, v'mshtachim v'modim, so everybody in shul kneels on the floor. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that when he lived in Eastern Europe, he never saw the women kneeling on the floor. So the first time he noticed it was in Berlin, when he was in the university. In Germany, all the women were kneeling on the floor. So he started to wonder, how come in the Alte Heim, how come where he came from in Eastern Europe, the women never kneeled on the floor? So after thinking briefly about it, he thought it says, Akanavam ha'omdim bo'azara, that this din v'hishtach avisa, lefnei Hashem alakech, there's a mitzvah to do hishtach bo'a, is only in the azara. Outside of the azara, there's no such mitzvah. And the women were never in the azara. The women were in the Ezra's Noshim, which had a kedushas harabais, didn't have kedushas azara. Rashi writes on the Gemara, why didn't the Chachamim, when they built the Bayis Sheni, why didn't they endow the Ezra Snoshim with Kedushas Azara? So he says, they wanted to give the women a break, because it didn't say, Yeshiva Bazara Elo Lamalchei Beis David Malvad. No one's allowed to sit in the Azara. So the women, a lot of times, they're more boris, they're menikos, they don't feel well. They're run down. Today, the women take prenatal pills, postnatal pills. The women have babies, they're healthier than their husbands. But years ago, they didn't have all these pills. So the women had the babies. They were knocked out when they were pregnant, when they were nursing, they would be knocked out. So the Chacham didn't want to be matriarch, the women, that they should have to stand. The Rashi says on the Gemara, he thinks that's probably why, if they wanted to, they could have been Mekadosh Ezra Snoshim, the Kedushas Hazor, but they only had Kedushas Harabais. So he thought, it says in the Yerushalmi, HaKreivim, when the Kohen Gadol said the Shem Amfarish, the Kreivim would be Mishtachadeh. HaRechoikim, those who were far away from the Kohen Gadol, wouldn't be Mishtachadeh, they would just say, Baruch Shem Kvei Mochusa Liyom Avoy. Who are the Kreivim, who are the Rechoikim? So the Mefarshim say, it's not from Rabbi Salvation, the Mefarshim say, Kreivim being zoned in the Azara. Mishtachadeh is only a Kiyam in the Azara. The Rechoikim are those Chutz Lazara. So it says, HaKarim Hom Dim Azara. The phrase "Am the Mazara," those are the correct. So he said, the women never used to be mishtachave in the Beis Hamikdash because they were not in the Azara. So therefore, the minig in Eastern Europe was that the women never kneeled. Yeah.
Would we infer from the fact that it says "Am" that includes you as a sisra?
I think yeah, as it so has a din of Azara. Yeah, there's a chumim in the Rabbanim. We don't allow the Israelim to go deeper into the Azor, but Menat Torah, they may go the whole Azor. That's a Maila Midrabanan, yeah. But the Ezra Snashim doesn't have a Kedushas Azor, only has a Kedushas Arabais. Okay. Rosh Hashanah is coming. It's a nice idea to daven in the Yeshiva. Everyone is invited to daven in the Yeshiva. Shalom Kippah.